Kevin D. Freeman is a New York Times best-selling author, and he's considered one of the world's leading experts on the issues of economic warfare and financial terrorism. His research has been presented to the critical DOD studies, and he has been asked to brief or present to the FBI, DIA, ONA, SEC, Naval War College, HASC, the Naval Postgraduate School, DARPA, IARPA, and a host of government agencies tasked with protecting America. He is also a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. Kevin, are you there?
I am.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, good morning.
So you shared with me, and I shared with my fellow co-hosts here, an article you wrote about the economy today and the markets today, asking the question, can 2008 happen again? And you made some very interesting points there. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Certainly. Since 2008, we've seen the drop finished about March of 2009 in the stock market. And we've seen a almost relentless upward move in the stock market. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped to about 650 or 6,500, on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And it's started steadily climbing, and it's gone from 6,500 to over 18,000, and now it rests in the 16,000 range. And people have grown confident in the stock market once again. And so the purpose of my article was questioning if we had any of the circumstances in place that could cause the market to drop precipitously as it had done before. And I think there are a number of things that are very direct parallels, and worsening the situation is the fact that Russia, China, Islamists, and others have decided that one of our soft target vulnerabilities is the stock exchange. And just what we saw our country go through in 2008, 2009, and where we've ended up, how we are, from there, if those circumstances were to repeat today, it has the potential to end America as we know it. So that's the basis for the article. It's published at globaleconomicwarfare.com.
Hi, Kevin. This is Teresa. I know that our stock market, it appears to me to be rigged and manipulated. Do you feel that it's being manipulated by foreign sources as well currently?
Well, there's no doubt that there's foreign involvement in the stock market, and there's the very obvious elements. For example, from 2008 into the present, sovereign wealth funds built up large holdings in American stocks, and they did that because, when the oil price was $100 a barrel, oil exporters sold a lot of oil and made a lot of profit, and they put a good amount of that large percentage into the stock market. And so those sovereign wealth funds have been selling. I wouldn't call it manipulation, but they've stored up this massive amounts of money, and they've been selling those shares, and that has an impact on what our stock prices have done. Now, that's very obvious, and people are aware of that. But if you realize that you can sell stocks or manipulate the market and have an impact on American elections, American defense policy, so many things about our life, then it makes only good sense that the Chinese, in 1999, studying America in a book titled Unrestricted Warfare, would mention that causing a single man-made stock market crash could be a new weapon. And so I'm very concerned that elements in Russia, China, and elsewhere have decided that crashing our market is something that they could use as a weapon against us when they so chose.
Exactly. And what do you feel are the chances of a cyber attack on our economy anytime soon?
Well, our economy is attacked through cyber means on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that could be theft of intellectual property, which happens regularly, or it could be an attempt, as the Russians did just a couple of years ago when they hacked the NASDAQ. And we found it. It's proven. You can Google it. You can read stories about it. Russia hacked the NASDAQ. We found a digital bomb that they had placed. The Russians have said very directly, when we imposed sanctions on them, when they invaded in the Ukraine, we imposed sanctions, and senior Russian advisors came back and said, well, we can crash your stock market at will. And that was, in fact, in the Voice of Russia and Sputnik News, where Russia claimed we can crash your stock market. So the idea of them manipulating high-frequency trading algorithms is very real. It's a huge risk. And we've seen examples where foreign entities have actually effectively moved our stock market, and all the officials admit it.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, it's Wallace Brushwater. Can I ask you, don't you see also the, let's say, the fingers of our dear friend George Soros in all this?
Well, you know, that's interesting, because Soros was cited multiple times in that Chinese manual on how to defeat a superpower titled Unrestricted Warfare. They repeatedly cite him, and now the Chinese are accusing him of attempting to manipulate their currency. Soros is very active. He's wealthier than he's ever been. He's closer to the end of his life than he's ever been, and his goals, fervent goals for changing the world in his image, are stronger with him than they've ever been. So we can assume that someone in that position would be taking even more drastic measures with greater wealth to influence the world in the direction that he wants to see it influence. So I believe very firmly that he's active and involved. He was involved in 2008, and I referenced that in my article, and he's involved today. There's no doubt in my mind.
Me, Simon here, and thank you for being with us. We have heard in the last day or so that the Internal Revenue Service has systems that are down. They're referring to it as hardware issues. My first thought, a knee-jerk reaction, is that it was a hack. I'm not alone in that. And I would think that when it comes to economic warfare, one very interesting and easy place to do some economic warfare would be the Internal Revenue Service. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. If the Office of Personnel Management is a target, and it was, how much more a target would the IRS be? They would have access to blackmail information on individuals. They would have access to banking information. They would have so absolutely it's a target, and it's a very soft target. The IRS has told us for years that their systems are antiquated, outdated, and so forth. So there's no doubt in my mind that the IRS not only is currently being breached, but has been breached for years. The question is, has that information been used by criminal terrorists or nation states? And I believe all three have been active and involved in breaching the IRS.
Kevin, it's Wallace Brushwater again. Isn't there the fact that the government uses servers and routers made supposedly by American companies, but the hardware comes directly out of the Far East, Taiwan, and especially China. And those units, hardware units, in my opinion, contain backdoors. And those backdoors are being used and cannot be found easily. So therefore, are we still using hardware coming from dubious countries like China? I don't understand that. I'm sorry.
It's a combination of ignorance and arrogance, and you're right. The FBI a few years ago showed fake Cisco routers and how they were being sold, and they'd infiltrated all parts of government. And we want to get the cheapest possible supply, so we go to the cheap, less expensive supplier, and we end up buying counterfeit goods, and they have these backdoors. If we had a recall program for technology like we do for automobiles, we would see a much different circumstance, because once they were released and people had the opportunity to say, look, I found this, it's a bad component, it's fraudulent, it's open a back door, and there were a responsibility of the technology manufacturers to recall or for the buyers. The sad thing is that as bad as the airbag scandal is, and the fact that a dozen people or so have died because of faulty airbags, the risk to life, to future, to welfare of this country is much greater from the technology failures that we have than it is from a bad or faulty mm-hmm. airbag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Teresa Monroe Hamilton here.
again. I have a quick question about the presidential candidates. Who do you feel is most qualified to address economic terrorism in the field?
You know, I've had the opportunity to brief a number of the presidential candidates, but my history there has not been good in that. After I finally get through and talk to a presidential candidate, the last one in the preceding cycle, I spoke with a number of people on campaigns, and every one of them dropped out shortly after I reached them. And 2 weeks ago, I got a call from Governor Mike Huckabee, and you know, I've offered to brief every candidate, and so you know, Governor Huckabee calls me, and I'm saying, "Well, I broke through and got to another one," and unfortunately. So I don't want to comment too much because I don't want to see any undue influence. But I think anyone on the Republican side is a better choice than either of the remaining Democrat candidates.
Kevin, it's William here. I had a question. Just yesterday we learned that the Chicago Stock Exchange is going to be sold by a Chinese company. What are your thoughts on selling our financial infrastructure to foreign governments, especially those who have proven to be hostile in some cases?
It is insane. It's insane. And I'll give you an example. The Chinese also bought Lenovo from IBM, and in the national security community, they have found issues with that sale. We should not allow our critical infrastructure to fall into foreign hands. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, because out the back door can go information that can be used. Goldman Sachs had accused one of their former employees, and he's been tried twice on this. He was tried once, found guilty, and then there was a legal technicality that allowed him to be released, and so they had charges brought against him again for they accused him of stealing algorithmic trading, high frequency trading algorithms. And the risk there is if you have access to that information and you download it, you could crash our stock market. And I'll give you one other example. The Syrian Electronic Army hacked the Associated Press Twitter feed. They hacked them, and when they did, all they did was send out a tweet that they knew would cause the HFT, high frequency trading algorithms, to respond by mass selling. And the stock market dropped in the hundreds of billions of dollars in a second on a fake tweet. If the Chinese had information from the Chicago Stock Exchange that knew about the order routing and knew about what would trigger high-frequency trading algorithms, they could literally hold us hostage until we shut them out. So I think it's very dangerous.
Do you think that sale will get past the regulators?
I hope not. We had a circumstance a few years earlier with the New York Stock Exchange look at with a German company, and the reality of it is that it just doesn't make sense to have critical infrastructure. We have laws in place that can prevent that, but governments can and do ignore laws regularly. They look the other way, and the right amount of money sometimes speaks. And I watched in Washington Chinese influence on our patent system. I went into a congressman's office, and he just warned me. He said the Chinese money throughout Washington is so great, in think tanks, even conservative think tanks, is so great that they're able to get what they want. And I hope that we can stop it.
Given that it's in Chicago, it might be a heavy lift to stop that one.
Well, there's a federal basis for stopping it, but I what's the difference between Chicago and Washington these days? I'm not sure.
Not a whole lot.
Nothing at all.
A few miles.
It's a toll-free superhighway. Denise Simon here again. When you are briefing these entities, are they asking you for a particular subject matter, or are you invited in with what your current findings are? And if so, what is part of more of your alarming presentations?
Well, kind of a combination. I had to burst through doors in Congress and various agencies back a few years ago, and everyone was alarmed. Just the idea, they hadn't thought of the idea that warfare could be conducted by attempting to crash a stock market or manipulating oil prices, or these are acts of warfare. If they're done with free market intent, that's one thing. But if they're done with the purpose of destroying the United States or destroying our economy, that's an act of war. And that was shocking to most of the people. You know, they hadn't thought in those terms. They assumed our economy was invulnerable. There are really three great myths that permeate the culture and including Congress. The first myth is that capitalism is evil, and that's being promoted heavily. The second myth is that the government owes you something. And the third myth is that the U.S. economy is a permanent fixture at the top of the world's food chain. And all three of those are outright myths. There's no evidence to support any of them. Yet, that's the belief in Congress. That's the belief where I went. Now, other places where the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, General Mike Flynn, who became a little more famous because he called out the Obama administration on ISIS as a JV team and a few other things. He's been outspoken since he was retired. But General Flynn called me in and had me speak to the DIA because he wanted his analysts to hear another view, because most of the view they were being fed was how benign China was, that they're just wanting to westernize and they're our good friends and they have no ill intent towards us whatsoever. And he had read an article that I'd written at globaleconomicwarfare.com. And he said, "You've got to come express this view." And I said, "Yeah, sir, you know, I'm an investment manager from Texas. Surely you have some more sophisticated and better China analysts that you could bring in to talk to your troops." And he said, "No, I need your viewpoint because no one in Washington's sharing it." So I've been invited a few places where they've wanted me to counter the narrative. I went into the FBI and DARPA called me in to ask, is there a way to weaponize my research on stock markets? IARPA, which is the intelligence group, wanted to fund a study to find a way to monitor stock markets around the world to see if someone was doing something nefarious. The Office of Net Assessment was ordered by the House Armed Services Committee and the Defense Authorization Act to take my research and to formally study it and come back with conclusions. So my unclassified research for the Defense Department, that they called me in multiple times at my own expense to go in and explain to them how, you know, what I'd learned and so forth, was then written by the Office of Net Assessment, and then they produced a report on my unclassified research that was promptly classified so that even I couldn't read it.
Great. And I'm sure that you saw the piece this week by Bloomberg on the global death spiral of economies.
You know, yes, we are in a deflationary spiral. But if you look at the source or the basis of it, a lot of it is actions that are political actions that are resulting in this activity, some of which are out and out intended to, for example, the Saudis said, we're going to break the American shale industry. We're going to pump as much oil as we can, and we're going to lower oil prices so the American shale industry cracks and fails, because that's a threat to our long-term sovereignty.
And they're doing it.
They're doing exactly that. And that is a part of what we're dealing with. That is not an economic action in a true free market. That is a manipulation, purposeful. And they're very open about it, because OPEC has never hidden the fact that they try and manipulate the oil market.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've been telling people for some time, I said, you know, you Americans are celebrating, you know, lower gas prices and oil dropping, but this is a very bad thing. This is really going to have ramifications throughout energy and service sectors, and you're already seeing mass layoffs.
Mm-hmm. It could be a very good thing, and what you do when someone is dumping, and like a cartel is dumping oil, as OPEC, not OPEC, all of OPEC, just Saudi Arabia is doing, the smart thing to respond to it is that you actually buy their product.
Oil.
That's mm-hmm. You buy it and you store it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody agrees. All the economists say oil is going to be higher because demand will continue to grow long term, so you should be buying it. But the wisdom of our Congress and president is such that they've actually called for a reduction of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They want to actually sell oil when oil is cheap in order to fund profligate government spending, and it's free money to them. Oh, we can sell this oil. We don't need it anymore. That is absolute insanity.
Yeah, and Obama wants to put a $10 tax. Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, if I actually and I'm a free market person, but I actually would think it were much more rational and not be nearly as opposed to the idea if they said we're going to take a $10 tariff and we're going to use it to protect our domestic energy industry. That wouldn't bother me as much. A $10 tax so the government can spend more money on crazy social welfare programs just is insane. But if China set a $40 floor on oil prices, oil is $40 a barrel. If you're a producer, you charge $40, and if you import it, it's $40. And that's their response. I don't think that's the best free market response to the crisis that we're seeing, but it's much more rational than the idea that we're going to sell oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and we're going to charge everybody $10 more and capture the money for government.
Kevin, I have a question about, you mentioned the Syrian hacking group, and you've mentioned a couple foreign governments, including Russia and China. And my question is, if, for example, Russia or China, or for that matter, any other foreign government, were to decide to attack us to the point of crashing us, in your opinion, would that be a great risk to them, given how connected economies are? And I guess the follow-up / corollary is, do you think that if they decided to attack us, it would be very targeted for a specific purpose?
Well, it would. There is no doubt that a crash of the American economy would be horrifying to the Russians and to the Chinese economy short term. It would be extremely destructive. Now, it would be less destructive today than it would have been 5 years ago when China agreed to embark with Russia on this. And I've got to give you just a little bit of history. In the year 1998, a man named Igor Panarin walked into a conference where he was speaking in Linz, Austria, with 400 delegates sitting in the room, and he announced that the United States was going to collapse and it was going to become five separate nations. It would collapse somewhere after the year 2010. And when it collapsed like that, it would be because the American foreign debt was a pyramid scheme, and the world was going to give up on America, and the dollar would crash, and it would fall into these five different nations. Mm-hmm. People laughed at him because Russia's economy was collapsing at that moment.
I know where you're going with this.
So in 2008, Russia actually did an attack on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It's well documented. They tried to collapse our economy in 2008, and the Chinese didn't join them. But in 2011, the Chinese began to build an alternative to the Western financial system with the Russians, so that they had their own bank, the Asian Development Bank. They had their own SWIFT transaction system, and they got other nations to join us. And they embarked at that moment, we're going to get the Chinese yuan included into the reserve currencies of the world. In 2011, had our market and economy crashed, it would have been very devastating to Russia and China. It will be less so today because they've set up alternative systems. It would still devastate them. But here's something we need to know about Russia and China. They are more willing to endure pain in the short term than Americans are willing to endure pain. We panic. Russia is in the midst of a horrifying recession, and they may enter an outright depression. But these are the same Russians that stood in the winter against Hitler. And the Chinese have this is the same nation that ordered families, you can only have one baby, not two. And they're the same people that have 5-year, 10-year, and 40-year, and 100-year planning in what they do. They're looking much longer term. Americans, if we have a minor incident, we panic. And so I'm not suggesting that Russia and China is unaware of the pain that they would experience. They're very aware of it. It would be absolutely severe, and their nations might not endure, but they're getting more and more willing to take that risk. And if you look at the American total debt of nearly $20 trillion, they may believe that the handwriting is on the wall. It is inevitable. America is going to collapse, and we've got to prepare for that day when it happens. And when it does happen, either we hasten it and make it happen on our timing, or when it happens, we have to have an alternative to move forward without them. There's a long history in those nations, and I would suggest that the idea of mutually assured destruction, which worked so well during the Cold War, may not apply as effectively in this economic warfare.
I've absolutely pointed that out multiple times, that I believe that both Russia and China are strategic in their thinking, and if they believe that the good outweighs the bad, they will bide their time, and then they will strike with a cyber attack that will take us down.
I have no doubt.
What is the impact today, or is what the BRICS are doing an indication of what is on the horizon, Kevin?
Well, the BRIC nations, and this is a construct that was actually, people think it was a construct developed by a Goldman Sachs investment guy who said, oh, this is a cool way to invest. Like more recently, they've called it FANG, which is Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And so they said, oh, just invest in the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China. But they weren't. It was actually a Putin-led construct. Mm-hmm. And I've traced it back. He created it on purpose because he wanted an alliance of nations economically that could offset the traditional Western powers. And they added one, which was South Africa, making it BRICS with the S on the end. Well, why would you add South Africa? Their economic growth historically is not nearly as great. They don't produce as much. You know, South Africa didn't fit to this, you know, high growth. Well, they were added because they have one resource that the Russians felt important for the new world order they're establishing, which is gold. South Africa has massive holdings of gold. And so the intention from the beginning from Putin was to develop a group of nations that could be affronted and offended by the Western, traditional Western powers, and that would meet together regularly and agree to work together to create alternative currency, alternative transaction systems, alternative banking relationships, and that whose economic clout and power could rival that of the United States and Europe, and whose economic clout and power could stand alone if the Western financial system collapsed.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fascinating. Before we wrap things up, could you please give our listeners a website there that they can find you?
Yeah, a couple of them. One is globaleconomicwarfare.com, which is my blog where I do write-ups. The other is secretweapon.org, where people can find my interviews and see some of the endorsements I've had and learn about my books. And lastly, I just mentioned NSIC.org, which is National Security Investment Consultant Institute, where we're training financial advisors to prepare clients for some of the risks that we're seeing. And so if interested clients or advisors can go there and learn how to work with us.
Thank you so much. That wraps it up for this week's edition of the USA Transnational Report. We're live every Saturday on jjmccartney.com.